How you doing? So glad to be here with you today. I'm so honored. I've been looking forward to being with you today. And it's a joy and an honor and a privilege because RCC is a church family that I've known for a number of years. And we connected with Phil when we lived in Christchurch many, many years ago. And I followed your journey. And I think it had a bit to do with your connection to Burundi and Mavuno Church. And so glad to be here with you. It's a real privilege. Thanks, Rob. And thanks, Phil and the missions team for having me. And I just love what you carry at ICC in terms of mission. I've always felt that you, I've admired the way that you build your partnerships and the way you're consistent in building your global partnerships. I admire the way you seek to live out your value of being outward looking, to see the world transformed by Jesus, and the intentional way in which you keep missional central. So thank you. Thank you for that. You are an inspiration to so many people. And I also know that you're a family. Every time I come here, I see the connection. I see that, you know, people relate well with each other. There's a sense of family and connection and community. And I just love that. And I love that the fact that you, you know, people ask the question, why global missions? Why should you focus on global mission in the season? Well, because we've been called to make disciples of all nations, in case you've forgotten, you know. But also because we're one body, the Lord Jesus Christ calls us, you know, we're one body. And so whether you're in Bujumbura or in Nairobi or in Zambia, wherever you are, we're one body of Christ. And we are all the more richer when we connect with brothers and sisters from different parts of the world, not just to offer them, not us and them, that we are the ones privileged with resources offering them. No. Every single person and every single part of the body of Christ has something to contribute. So we offer something and we receive something. And so that's why we call them partnerships. It's not that we are the strong ones helping the weak ones. It's that we have something to offer and we have something to receive. And so that's a mindset that we bring. And so I admire that that's what you're seeking to do. And I wish I was here this evening to hear the team talk about why you do it. But I know it's going to be great. So my prayer for you is that the Lord will continue to multiply and flourish the gospel work that he does here for you individually and corporately, and that you will continue to step more and more into what God is inviting you to, because no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. So don't stop dreaming. Don't stop taking kingdom adventures. Don't stop asking, what if? Don't settle. Keep going hard for Jesus and his kingdom. And I know that God is inviting you for a lot more, because to him whose much has been given, much will be required. And so I pray that you will discover what is it that God is inviting you into. This morning, I'd like to bring a word to you. And you know, it's a very simple message that I want to bring this morning, but I believe that it's a message that some people here need to hear. I just have that sense in my spirit, that there are people here who need to hear this message today. So open your heart, and I pray the Spirit of God will speak to you about this. And it's about how God interrupts our plans to align us to his story, to help us enter his greater story. Ready for some interruption? This is it. And I think it fits well with your theme of seeking God's kingdom, because it is as we allow God to interrupt us that we actually enter and seek and discover what is it that he's inviting us into. So if you feel comfortable, settled, you've got your plan sorted, and you know where your life is heading, well, wait, because an interruption is coming. If you haven't experienced it yet, it is coming. That's what happened to us. My wife and I were very comfortable serving the Lord Jesus Christ in Africa. And you could have told, you know, 20 years ago, if you asked us, we would have said to you, God has called us to Africa. That is our heart. That's why we are prepared. We are geared, shaped for Africa. And, you know, anywhere else in the world? No. So I would travel around the world. I would speak in missions conferences, but go back home in Africa, because that's where my heart was. And we had been praying about serving as cross-cultural missionaries to southern part of Africa. And then, boom, the Lord opened the door for me to come and speak in a conference here, a missions conference in New Zealand in 2006. And I had never seen before what I saw then. I saw the need for raising up workers for the harvest. I saw a country like New Zealand that had been, at one point, it had the highest number of missionaries sent out per capita globally. And I thought, something has shifted because I'm not seeing these young people rising up. You know, we sang about that. I see a new generation rising. And it was my heart to see a new generation rising that will go in the name of Jesus Christ. And so that door for South Africa stopped, and it's as if God was saying, come to New Zealand and be part of raising up the next generation of people who will go globally for missions in the name of Jesus. So that's a picture of our family. Our girls were, Rina was only 8 and Tania was only 5. They are now 25 and 22. We've been in this country for nearly 17 years. So life is full of interruptions. Our lives were interrupted 17 years ago, and maybe even your life gets interrupted. And, you know, some of them are big moments of interruption, but other times they are small. Maybe inconveniences, disruptions, frustrations, unexpected things. You know, maybe you wake up in the morning, your car doesn't start on a cold winter morning as you rush out the door to beat the Christchurch traffic. Or things break. You get a phone call that you are not expecting as you try and climb into bed. You get sick or your child gets sick and all your plans for the week go out of the window. I could go on, and you probably could. I thought I'll share one of my favorite memes about interruptions. You can see that picture of the cart. You know, you're busy working on your assignment and boom, the cart just comes and lies there on your computer. How do you respond to interruptions? When confronted by interruptions and disruptions, many people react in one of three ways. One, they fight because they don't like the interruptions. It's not fair. And they blame other people for interrupting them. Or they freeze. What do I do now? And they get stuck. Or they fight. They run away, lock themselves in a room somewhere, or as they do in Kenya, if you're interrupted by another car that won't get off the road, you drive on the footpath. I tried to do that once, and I ended up getting stuck in the mud. So you either fight or freeze, or you fly, or you move away. But these chaotic interruptions can be divine, can't they? Is God involved, and actually is He at work in my interruptions? And so rather than fighting or freezing or fleeing, could God be wanting to form us through the interruptions that come our way? Rather than shunning interruptions, could God be wanting to shine His glory through them? Rather than thinking that interruptions are diverting us from our plans, well laid out plans, could God be directing us to the right path into His greater story? When was the last time you discovered you had a divine interruption? And how has God used interruptions to show you that He loves you, that He cares for you, that He is for you, even through the interruptions? 3 years ago, I was flying from Rotorua to Nelson, and I'd been there over the long Queen's Birthday weekend, and I was ready to get back home. And so I had to make a connection from Rotorua, Wellington, Nelson. So when we got to Wellington, we were advised that the flight to Nelson had been canceled because of weather. Now, I was waiting on the line. They call it disrupted flights desk. Okay, I was waiting in that line. There's lots of people waiting, you know, to get their hotel bookings, to change their flights, and to get the earliest flight out of Wellington. And I wondered to myself, I was just standing there, I wondered, you know, because I've been thinking about how God interrupts our plans. I wonder how this interruption is going to work out for good. And so right there, my wife, Watere, rang me, and she said to me, she was in Nelson at the time, she said, could you change your flight? She didn't know that the flight had been canceled. Could you change your flight and stay in Wellington? Because our daughter, who lives in Wellington, at that very moment, needed a parent with her. She was going through stuff and needed one of us to be there. My wife couldn't get to Wellington, and I was right there at that very moment. So I said to her, well, I don't have to change my flights because my flight has been disrupted. So I got a free hotel booking by Air New Zealand, and I was able to spend time with my daughter. God's for you through those interruptions. And the Bible is full of stories of divine interruptions. God speaks into the cosmos. In Genesis 1, we say that the cosmos was formless and empty, and darkness was hovering over the surface. And he said, "Let there be light." God intervenes, interrupts what is formless, and creates something beautiful. Moments of cosmic divine interruption. In Exodus 3, we see Moses tending his flock, the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, and the angel appears to him in flames of fire from within a bush. And that moment of encounter changes the trajectory of Moses' life. Divine interruption. In John chapter 4, we see the story of the Samaritan woman who encounters Jesus, and her life is changed. Her desires and her destiny are changed. So in chapter 9 of Acts, is nearing Damascus on his journey, and suddenly this light flashed around him. He falls to the ground, and he hears a voice saying, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And that moment of encounter changes this man who was persecuting the church, and he became the greatest apostle. Divine interruption. In our reading this morning, we'll be looking at Acts chapter 16. And the background here is that Paul is on his second missionary journey. He and his team have been traveling through modern-day Turkey, revisiting churches in the first missionary journey. They have a plan, a good plan, and it is strategic. Some of the plans that God interrupts are not bad plans. They are not dumb plans. They are not evil plans. They are good plans. In fact, you heard from God, and you're going the direction that God is leading you. You want to share the gospel. They are good plans. And that's what happens here. And yet the Holy Spirit intervenes twice and prevents them from preaching the gospel in Asia. It's a very interesting reading. Let's have a read, verse 6 of Acts 16. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. Do you notice that? Having been kept from the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. Of course, not everyone in Asia knew about Jesus, but somehow, for that very moment, the Spirit of God did not want them to go to Asia for a greater purpose. Verse 8. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. You know, there are so many places where you could serve the Lord Jesus Christ. There are so many places where your gifts could be used. There's so many needs all around the world. How do you know which one? Well, from this reading, it's clear, isn't it? Listen to the voice of the Spirit, because God guides his people if we are open and if we have the posture of listening to God. When the door for mission appeared shut for Asia, a new door was opening, and what looked like an obstacle became an opportunity to align with God's plan. This interruption led to Paul and his team going to Europe, the first step of the gospel reaching Europe through Philippi, a major city in Macedonia, came through this interruption, divine interruption, realigning God's purpose so that the gospel could reach Europe. Divine interruption for a greater purpose. So yes, you may be going the right direction. Maybe you feel like, you know, you're doing God's plans, but maybe God has other plans, and it's listening to the voice of the Spirit. In Matthew 14, we see Jesus, after he's been working so hard, you know, healing the sick, preaching the gospel, he wants a break. He wants to go on a retreat, and the crowd follow him, so he cannot actually take a break. Does that sound familiar? Sometimes you just want me time for the introverts. me time. And then as you're trying to get your moment of introvert time, someone just shows up and they've got this story and they've got that story. And it's God in the interruption. That's happened to Jesus. So the crowd follow him. And that interruption of Jesus' retreat led to the feeding of the 5,000 that we have in our Gospels. You see, you planned a retreat because you want to meet God. You want to go and pray. You have a prayer retreat because you want to hear from God. What if God is actually meeting you right there in your mess, in the chaos, in the confusion, is in the interruptions? What if God is right there? I'm not saying retreats are bad. It's good to escape every so often. And I'm not giving a bad rap to introverts. No. But what if God is sometimes is in the interruption? What if rather than giving you a life of ease, Jesus wants to disrupt and interrupt your life with his grace to show you that he is enough and that there's more? That as you seek his kingdom and put him first, all those other things that you long for will be added for you. That as you pour yourself out to heal and restore God's broken world, God restores your brokenness. What if rather than waiting for your life to be sorted, because I know so many people who say it's not yet time to follow God's call, God's kingdom, because I've got stuff to sort out. What if rather than waiting for everything to be sorted, and it's important for some things to be sorted, but for everything to be sorted, God's inviting you to step in the direction you are not yet considering because the door is open right now. I like to give this analogy. I may have shared this before, but I love it so much. I'll share it again. You know, we normally say in Africa, we don't do too much planning, okay? We basically, if you are thinking of someone who has a rifle and they want to, you know, shoot something, we just pick up a rifle and shoot. It's a metaphor. It's not the reality. Metaphor. We just shoot and try and figure out whether we've hit anything. But I find that in the West normally, you know, we'll pick up the rifle and we'll aim and we will aim and we will aim and we will aim. And sometimes we will not pull the trigger because it's got to be right, okay? And sometimes we plan and plan and plan. We keep aiming and aiming and aiming, and we don't pull the trigger. We are trigger shy when it comes to missions. We're waiting for the right moment. We're waiting for the right cause. We're waiting for the right things and the right stuff to fall together. What if that? There's no need to be waiting for that stuff. God's already equipped you with everything you need for doing his will. Is Jesus in the interruptions? Absolutely. In fact, if you look through the Gospels, you will see that most of the miracles that he did, Jesus did them in the course of disruptions and interruptions. As he was teaching, as he was walking, people were healed. People were touched by Jesus. As he was doing something else. The people Jesus called were doing something else. They were interrupted. They were fishing, or they were in the tax collector's booth. Jesus called people out of their ordinary, normal lives, interrupted them, and called them into his greater story. This is normal business. God interrupting and disrupting our lives into his greater story. And so when you find yourself interrupted, perhaps you might want to ask, what's God inviting me to notice? What is it that the Spirit of God is asking of me in this moment? To be clear, let me say this. Some interruptions are painful and they are not fun. So I want to acknowledge that because it's easy to miss that. They are difficult and challenging interruptions. And some interruptions require us to persevere through because it could be the enemy trying to sort of delay us, and so we need to persevere through. So I want to just clear that. Some are difficult interruptions, others are enemy-driven. But on the other hand, there are many interruptions that God allows and uses to bring clarity, joy, hope, and peace in our hearts. Interruptions that bring delight and joy that we need. And God knows we need that. I remember a time when our youngest daughter, language of love is connection. She loves to connect. She's always looking for ways to connect. And so sometimes you pop into my study at home, and I'm busy studying, and I've got all these books, and I've got these commentaries and Bibles open, and I'm listening to the Lord, and she just come in and say, "Hey, Dad, what do you think?" And she just wants me to admire her new dress and just says, "She looks nice." That's nice. I remember a time she popped into the office, and I was busy in a meeting. Can't remember what we were discussing, but we were solving the world's problems. And she pops in my office with a coffee, a flat white, and she said, "Oh, Dad, sorry to interrupt you. I just thought you needed a flat white just to keep you going." Ah, isn't that sweet? An interruption that was welcome. You know, I can't remember what we were talking about, but I remember how my daughter made me feel that moment. You know, unforgettable moments. Sometimes the interruption God's giving you, bringing your way, is for your good. It's for your delight. He loves you so much. He knows what you need. And so how do we respond to interruptions by the Holy Spirit? Just three quick points and we'll be done. First point, expect divine interruptions. Expect divine interruptions. Interruptions in the life of a believer do not catch God by surprise. They are not random or meaningless. They are God's ways of speaking to us. I've got a car. My car has an automatic braking system. Many of the new cars have that. And it sort of will stop. It will brake itself if there's a possible potential collision. And so it will just, you're driving and it will just stop. And sometimes I become annoyed. How do you turn this thing off? Many times I've been so grateful for the automatic braking system because I've avoided a crash when I wasn't noticing an imminent hazard. An interruption in the system in the car that stops me from crashing. And sometimes the divine interruption into our lives is God knows what you need. And he's brought an interruption into your life just to stop you from something dumb or something difficult or something challenging. It is because of his love for us that he does these things. So the interruptions we experience almost on a daily basis are reminders that we live in this world that is uncertain. The one thing we can be sure of is the goodness of God and the love of God. We can be sure of that. And so we can allow ourselves to experience God's grace in the middle of our interruptions. And sometimes the interruptions are big and dramatic, like Paul's journey to Damascus and how he was interrupted. But I think more often than not, the interruptions that God brings our way are small, ordinary, quiet, what I would call Emmaus road moments. Remember those two disciples walking on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus interrupts their conversation. He just comes and joins them. And, I don't know what they were thinking about. Who's this stranger? You know, you're in Jerusalem. You don't know what's happening. And, and later on they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us when he spoke to us?" They needed Jesus at that very moment to interrupt their conversation and to give them hope. So more often than not, the interruptions that God brings are small, little, quiet moments. A phone call. You notice something happening around you or just something that comes to mind in your thought. Friendship, hospitality, conversation. And those moments can be great moments of growth in character. Those interruptions can be used by God to shape us to become more like Christ. So expect divine interruptions. Secondly, examine interruptions. Anyone who's ever done alpine adventures know that weather conditions can change anytime. And so you've got to keep examining the weather. You've got to keep checking the weather patterns to know whether to keep going in the direction you chose. You have a five-day tramp and the weather changes. You've got to actually keep examining. Things have changed. Should we keep going? Should we change course? That kind of thing. And I think in Christian life is a bit like that. We're in this space where God is leading us. He's shaping us into the image of Christ. And sometimes we are in a particular direction and we insist we're going a particular way. But things change and we need to examine, prayerfully examine what's going on here. Paul and his team, when the door closed for them to go to Asia, God gives them a vision. God gives Paul a vision, this man from Macedonia. And so they notice, oh, oh, this is what's happening. And so they respond. And I see, I love the picture there that it's actually not just Paul. There was a community because it's, they said, they concluded. Luke has joined the team now. They concluded. Another version says, they were convinced that God wanted them to preach the gospel in Macedonia. And so examine in prayer, in community. You know, if you are sensing that maybe the door is being blocked, maybe something is happening in your career or your job, or some situation is changing in your family life, who are the people that you can talk to, who can you can examine together what is it that God is saying to you? Who are the people that you have given what I like to call PMR, personal meddling rights? The people who can come and say, you know, I noticed this is happening in your life. I wonder whether the Lord might be saying something to you. You need people like those, don't you? People who can basically point you to God, say, you know, I'll pray with you. I'll fast with you. Let's together lean on God and see what God is saying. We need people like those. Because maybe at that moment you're so annoyed about the interruption, you cannot hear from the Lord. We need community. And so examine the interruptions. And then finally, embrace the interruptions. Embrace God's plan in the interruptions. Notice Paul and his team respond in obedience. Verse 10 says, after Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia. They weren't wasting any time. They were ready. They were ready to go, to follow God's leading. They were ready to embrace the interruption, to shift and to be redirected. Instead of fighting, complaining, or getting angry, they embraced the intervention and the invitation that God offered them at that very moment. Divine interruptions are a gift to help us follow Jesus' call. Now, I know it's hard to see some of the little frustrating events and interruptions of our day as God placed opportunities to encounter Jesus, grow in grace, but they are. Let's embrace them. God uses these interruptions for our own growth, our transformation, to change us and to make us more like Christ. They are not barriers, these interruptions to God's plan. They are opportunities to embrace God's plan. Are you willing to have this posture of openness? Lord, if you lead me, I will go. When we got married with Watere, we prayed, Lord, help us to live our lives lightly, so that when you call us, we can move. We didn't want to hold things so tightly that actually when God speaks, we can't, because we're so stuck with our plans and all the things that hold us. We're so anchored here that we cannot move. We wanted to live our lives lightly. And so that's why when the opportunity came to New Zealand, even though we did not know anyone here, didn't have any family here, we moved because we felt it was of the Lord. Two missionary stories of people who that you may know of that have responded and embraced interruptions. Adoniram and Anne Justson were missionaries in the sort of 19th century. In 1812, they set sail to go to India, but the British authorities denied them to enter India because of the political tensions. Now, those were the days before the cell phones, you know, travel agent, that kind of thing. You went on a ship and it took months to get there. So what do you do? Do you change? Do you go back? So they changed course and they ended up in Burma or Myanmar now, a country with no known Christians then and a hostile environment, which included imprisonment and the death of Anne. Judson persevered and translated the Bible into Burmese. Can you think of what it meant, you know, in those days before any of the technical things that we have now, to be able to learn a language and translate the Bible? And he planted churches and set the ground there for Christianity to be able to flourish. In Nelson, we have many Burmese, you know, Myanmar refugees. And it always reminds me of the people whom God has used to plant gospel soil over the centuries. The response of one person to an intervention or interruption led to a country receiving the gospel. Mother Teresa, some of you know of Mother Teresa, joined the Sisters of Loreto with the intention of becoming a missionary in India, a missionary teacher. And during a train ride, she felt the Lord, a bit like Paul, hearing a voice, this dream, vision from a man of Macedonia. She felt the Lord said to her to leave the convent and serve the poorest of the poor directly in the streets of Calcutta. And as I say, the rest is history. Her work to date has inspired thousands and countless, maybe even hundreds of thousands of people to live a life of mercy and compassion. That divine redirection from a voice in a train led to a massive legacy of Mother Teresa. I wonder what the Spirit might be saying to you today. I wonder where you sense the Spirit of God prompting you for change and for redirection. I wonder where you are being prompted to consider your priorities so that you can step into God's greater story. You are loved by God, and God wants to use you, including some of the interruptions in your life, for his greater glory. Are you ready? God is good, and his plans are good. Whatever the interruption is, whether one that you've experienced in the past, one you're experiencing right now, or you experience this coming week, we're reminded today that God, who interrupted heaven and earth and sent Jesus to come for a greater purpose, our salvation, is at work, and his grace is available to us. We don't have to worry about, oh, I'm going to get it wrong, or should I go this way or that way or that way? The Bible is very clear. Whether you walk to the left or to the right, you will hear a voice saying to you, this is the way, walk in it. It's about our posture. A posture of obedience. Lord, if you call me, I'm willing to go. Because I know you love me and you've got a greater purpose. It's that kind of a posture that I'm inviting us to as we seek his kingdom. And so until the time comes when history of our world will be interrupted one final time, that last and final interruption that will happen when Jesus comes back and this world is changed. In the meantime, we are invited to expect divine interruptions, to examine interruptions and discern what the Spirit is saying, and to embrace divine interruptions, embrace what that invitation calls us to, embrace and encounter Jesus. Don't miss Jesus in the interruptions. Is that all right? I hope God has spoken to someone here today. Let me pray. Let's just take a moment and just let that word sit in our hearts and our spirit. Maybe you need to do a business with Jesus. Maybe there's something that's stirring in your heart. Would you say to Jesus, Lord, I'm willing. I'm willing to embrace your interruptions. I'm willing to embrace you and encounter you in the interruptions. I'm willing to embrace your plan for me. Whether that plan means changing my career, whether that plan means noticing my neighbor, whether that plan means stopping and helping the stranger, whether that plan means opening my home to those who need a place and a bed, whether it means hospitality, whether that plan means giving up my dream thing, whatever it is, so that I can give myself towards your service. Whether that plan means service, whatever it is, you can say to Jesus today, I'm willing to embrace your plan. Offer what is it that is on your heart. Jesus loves you so much. If you're here and you do not know Jesus, you've never given your life to Jesus, maybe the interruption of the Spirit right now prompting your heart is for you to say yes to Jesus, that he would take control of your life, that he will show you his wonderful plan for your life, to bring you freedom, to bring you hope, to bring you restoration. Maybe you've gone through a very hard time in the last few months where your life has been shattered and broken because of the interruptions of pain that have come to you. Jesus is saying to you, as you grieve, he is with you. He's present with you. and he's got a plan for your life. Maybe it's for you to say yes. Yes, to embrace his plan for your life, even though you've known deep pain and grief. Maybe for some of you today, you just need to say yes to being involved in global mission, to investing in global partnership, whether that means prayer, giving, going, encouraging the global church, whatever form or shape that may take, that you're saying, Lord, yes, I'm willing. I'm willing to step into the unknown. I'm willing to step into your story, your greater story for this world, to be part of building your kingdom, to see this world restored. I'm willing to offer my gifts. I'm willing to offer myself to you. So whatever it is that you're carrying right now, whatever it is the Spirit of God is leading you to, let me pray. Maybe if there's something that you want to release to Jesus as a sign of embrace, maybe you can open up your arms. You can just say with open arms, a sign of surrender, saying, Lord, I'm willing. If that's a response, you say, I'm willing. I'm willing to embrace your plan. I'm willing to embrace these interruptions. I'm willing to step into your story. So you can open up your arms as I lead us in prayer as a way of response. And so Heavenly Father, we thank you for your kindness. We thank you that you invite us to join you in building your kingdom. We thank you that you see far beyond what we can. And in your love, you interrupt our plans, not to harm us, but to lead us into your greater purpose. Lord, I pray that when paths shift and doors close, that we will not become confused or frustrated, but we will choose to trust that your detours are divine redirections. Lord, that you will teach us to recognize your voice. Give us courage to go to say yes to you and to go where you lead us. Help us to lay down our plans and to take up yours. Give us faith to say yes to your vision, like Paul and his team did, even when it leads to unfamiliar places. Lord, we seek your kingdom first. Bring hope, bring meaning, bring peace, bring clarity to everyone who is seeking you right now. And Lord, we offer all these thoughts, all these dreams, all these promptings, all these questions to you, knowing that you're a good God, that you love us, and that you're leading us. For we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, whose love never stops pursuing and chasing after us. Amen.